1, 2.
Test. Checking the mic.
Check, check, check. Check testicles.
We should do a whole podcast with our old school radio voices.
I don't think I could.
You don't think so?
Could you do it? Could you? Every once in a while, I would do the sports that way.
Mm-hmm.
On the locker room, I go, hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I would do that, and people would literally, the phones would start ringing, and they were like, you need to stop that immediately. And it's funny because there's still guys out there on terrestrial radio that sound like that.
Talk like this all the time.
Hey,
hey, how you doing?
I met one guy where he talked like that for so long.
Ronnie Radio? That's what we used to call him, Ronnie Radio.
Ronnie
hey,
Radio,
how you
doing? Yeah.
Nice to see you. Hey.
You'd meet him in the hallways and he'd be like, hey.
You know what? I used to love those guys that had that radio voice back in the day. They were like totally fake radio voice and they'd get off the air. They'd be like, if that's it for me at 9 o'clock, I'll see you tomorrow. And then get off the air and they
hey, Dina!
That was a great show. Thanks, guys. That was a lot of fun. That was good. That was great.
That's got to be a lot of effort. Like,
I think so.
Like, if you're pulling that voice all day, where's that come from? Is that core? Is that
fantasy
core
land? No, it just comes from
the poison part of their brains. Yeah.
I'll tell you where it comes from, a place of deep emotional insecurity. That's where that shit comes from. Anyway, good to see you, Lachlan.
We need
Cross
a bell.
Here.
I need a bell in here when you make a point.
At Lachlan Cross on Twitter is where you can find him. Of course, now his new home here at Cryer Media. We got lots of stuff to get to. We got this crazy, insane royal affair pregnancy murder for hire story, which is awesome to watch. We're going to talk a little bit about costumes, political costumes today. That's going to be fun. We'll get to that. Skip Bayless had an all-time tweet. Maybe we'll get to that. But I want to open the show with something that you love. Like, I want to cater to you a little bit more instead of my needs. So we're talking beer today, right? We're going to open up the show with a beer conversation.
Beer makes you smarter.
Well, I don't know if it does, but it certainly makes you more brave, and it's delicious. And fearless sometimes too, depending on what you do. Big beer drinker, but you are a big proponent of celebrating. And Edmonton has this amazing craft beer community,
Alberta
craft
does.
Beer industry. Alberta, the entire a lot of people don't know this.
No.
The craft beer capital of Canada resides in Alberta. Correct.
Well, yeah, and we have a guest that is very closely tied to the reason why that has actually been. Yeah, that's a thing now. And maybe Mark can talk to it a little bit more, but I believe it was the industry was at a certain point.
Yeah.
And governments opened up the opportunities, I guess, business-wise, allowed smaller companies to be more profitable just based on some of the rule changes and whatnot. And it exploded in Alberta. And if you live here, even like I'm a long time, like pretty boring beer drinker, but I'd say in the last 5-10 years, just based on how popular it is, you start to explore, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you go to a restaurant, you'll have a local beer, you'll hear somebody talking about one of their favorites, you'll try it. I'm kind of an IPA guy. So
yeah, we
I
came from a time
IPAs.
Where we didn't really have a choice, so too, right? Like, and so like when you see these new fancy fruity IPAs, stouts, coffee stouts, you see all these beautiful new drinks.
All these
you're like,
cool new.
Yeah, you go, oh my God, it's not blue or OV. Yeah, let me taste that. And you're like, oh my God, where has this been? Why are we just
blue
doing this
or OV?
Now?
You're showing your Ontario roots.
Pill OV. Nothing wrong with mass-produced genetically modified beer. However, craft beer specialists in Alberta owe a debt of gratitude to our guest. We're going to chat with him in just a second.
Absolutely.
I want to chat with him as well about the beer tax fiasco. You narrowly missed paying an extra back-breaking 8 cents a case.
Here's the
beer,
thing. You know what? Honestly, I love all these notes that people want to send me on Twitter and Facebook about the increase in taxes.
Yeah.
And they're going, you know, it's only 12 cents a week. But the thing is that
they're cheering
every
for more
year,
taxes for them
every
too.
Year, we keep getting pounded and pounded and everybody wants to point out that the liberals are only increasing it so much. But what happens? Every couple of months, we get a new increase. And then you go back 5 years later, we'll look back and we'll go, hold on, why are we all desperately poor? Well, it's because every week there's a new fucking tax.
Yeah.
And everyone just goes, well, it's only 12 cents. And you know what? PP, he's meaner. Like, I mean, listen, we are one of the most overtaxed countries in the world.
Yeah.
In the world. There's like 50% plus tax on half the stuff that we buy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. All of these major companies are in the pockets of government. Mm-hmm. And I'm sick and tired of having these conversations. It's only going to cost you an extra $4. Yeah, but when you start adding it all up, and what did I say last week on the podcast?
When you start adding
what they should be listening to me.
It's like 15. Yeah, but they should listen to you. And listen.
And they did.
You bring up a great point. A little heated about the whole thing, but you bring up a great point. You got a bunch of right fighters out there going, it's not a lot of extra tax. And you're like, yeah, but it's still an extra tax.
It's constant.
I don't drink beer, but I want to break down the beer tax fiasco. Thank God the government headed off the really almost a
little bit
expensive beer tax at the border the other day, where they clawed it back an extra couple percent, froze the beer tax. To your point, it might have been your idea.
I said it last week. They should go on and just say, you know, stop it, and they'll get, and people will vote for them.
Yeah, well, that was a good, and you said it like just like that, so I'm sure they listened. I want to bring in a gentleman who knows a lot about the tax, knows a lot about Alberta's incredible craft beer industry. He is the founder director of the AlbertaBeerFestivals.com, including the Edmonton Craft Beer Fest. Please welcome to the program, Mr. Mark Kondrat. Am I saying your name right, Mark? Mark Kondrat, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah, gotcha.
Nice Polish name there.
Yeah. You a Polish guy? You a little Polish?
I come from a line of Polacks and a few English people, but don't hold that against me. Yeah.
I'm English, and I've got lots of Polish friends, and so I think
I apparently that have
so far
some
you're
Pole
two
in
for
me.
Two genetically.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Do you have any pole in you? Is that why you? Yeah. Not at the moment. Anyway, good to see you, Mark. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. We're just having a laugh. You're a big mover and a shaker in the Alberta craft beer industry. You obviously, are a festival guy. I want to get to some festival stuff, but let's just calm Lachlan down or jack him up again. I don't really care. Your thoughts on the freezing and the clawing back of the 4.7% tax. 4.7% tax, excise tax. It was supposed to go up on all your beer, being, I think, limited at 2.3% in the tax. Your thoughts? You're going to vote for Trudeau now? Yes.
No comment on that. But my thoughts on the tax are, I hate to admit that Lachlan made a good point, but a lot of people say, well, it's only X amount. It's a small amount, but I feel like, talking to a lot of the people behind the scenes in the beer industry over the weekend, it's just one of those death by a thousand cuts kind of thing. There's, if you look at every single one of their inputs, talking to the people in the barley world, over the last couple of years, they've had some kind of what they would call like perfect storms in terms of, what the crops have looked like and their inputs. So, barley is more expensive. Cans are more expensive. Staffing is more expensive. And so when you put on all the inputs, and then there's just every year this, without even talking to people, just an increase in taxes. It's sometimes seems insignificant. It's like, well, it's only a penny here, a penny there. But like I said, it's a death by a thousand cuts. And so, something's got to give eventually. And that's kind of where the industry is at is, people are looking at it and going, is it worth continuing? And that's a sad reality of it.
What do you mean, like worth continuing if the excise tax continues to go up? Are the margins that bad? Or is it just like, hey, this is just another tax on top of another tax. And then, the excise tax goes up with inflation and that sliding scale. Like, does it make that much of a difference? 4.7%. And these are just honest questions because I don't know. I really don't.
It just it just, something's got to give eventually. Right. And then you think about, like, you know, goes up with inflation, and we've been dealing with crazy inflation. So just inflation in and of itself is an issue for them. So to have a tax that's like indexed to inflation is like almost like insult to injury in a way. Right. So, you know, I've always been a small business owner, and, you know, when I talk to these people, you know, I'm going in thinking like, you know, okay, what are they paying per square foot? What are they paying? You know, they have oftentimes huge facilities. Like the tasting room is the smallest chunk of their facility. Like, they have such a big staff just to make what they do. You know, we're making world-class product in Alberta, and that's, you know, that's not easy, right? It takes a big team. So there's so many different variables, and to just kind of have, you know, taxes, you know, piled on year after year, I guess we have to give them credit, because this year, you know, they did claw it back, but, you know, usually it's just increased without even talking to people. So, I look at it like, I'm a small business owner. All of these people, you know, we've been doing festivals for over 20 years. And so in the craft beer industry in Alberta, you know, these people, we met them when they opened up their breweries, and we've kind of seen their journeys. Mm-hmm. They've become close friends, and, you know, they're small business owners that are struggling like anyone else, whether you're a restaurateur, you know, kind of what have you. So, yeah, we need to kind of give them as many breaks as they can so they can get through this.
Mm. I have a question about the health of the craft beer market in Alberta, comparatively speaking, to the rest of the country. I'm not wrong, am I, Mark, in suggesting that Alberta has one of the healthier, more robust industries in that arena?
Yeah. I mean, I look at it like, you know, if you look at Alberta as a, speaking in generalities, I guess, you know, we're a fairly entrepreneurial province. And so, you know, I think people are really good at looking at, okay, what are the challenges and what are the opportunities, and really kind of changing their model when needed to kind of match that. And so I think we are robust, but I think as a result, you know, then all of a sudden it's, you know, you almost take advantage of that. You almost assume that, okay, well, they can handle more. They can handle more. And that's all I'm saying is there's got to be a point at which, you know, the straw that breaks the camel's back kind of thing. So we're still seeing some growth, but we've seen some close as well. Like, I just did a podcast with my friend Graham Sherman with Toolshed, and, you know, they had to do a major restructuring just to kind of stay afloat. And, you know, luckily, you know, Graham, I think to some degree got ahead of it, and so they were able to restructure, and I think they'll still stay strong. But a lot of them are in the same boat where they're, you know, they're looking at it closely. So
Toolshed marketing is awesome, by the way. Just to
Toolshed beer, yeah.
They're very creative cool. on that front.
It's a healthy industry, and I understand the economy of it. But when you talk about restructuring, you know, and I think coming out of the pandemic, obviously, you know, with beer delivery, you saw a lot of, you know, ingenuity with people where they were trying to get people different, you know, taster packs, tester packs. I thought that was really cool. And the diversification in your industry has been awesome to watch, too. But, you know, I go back to what it costs to do business. And when they're lumping on taxes, you talk about death by 1,000 cuts. How does that beer tax and how would it affect the average, let's say, profitable craft brewery? What are the pain points of the excise tax right now? Like, when you talk to people, you're at a festival a couple weekends ago, what, in Edmonton or Calgary, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, we did our Edmonton one last weekend. So talking to a couple of them, and, you know, I think to your guys' point before, you're not wrong in that, you know, it equates to, you know, maybe a penny per can kind of thing, you know. But, you know, you mentioned COVID, which, you know, I think we're all tired of talking about COVID, but the thing about that is,
I would like to light up another 2-3 years of those conversations. Yeah.
But exactly. The thing is a lot of these breweries were brand new, and, you know, you don't put world pandemic, in your business plan, right? And so they were up, you know, even the ones that have been around for a while were only around for, say, a lot of them were only around for 2-3 years. And then all of a sudden this pandemic started. So the creativity that they showed, they started doing home deliveries, stuff like that. The creativity was amazing. And so they were able to survive, but we're only just getting out of that. And so to continue to pile on to a problem that they're still trying to dig out of, that's where it becomes dangerous. And so, you know, a lot of people, I think a lot of people just look at a business owner and they think, oh, well, they must be rich. And the fact of the matter is a lot of these people are, most of these people are doing it first and foremost as a passion project. And they're learning how to make money, hopefully. But, you know, it's something that they've been thrown a lot of crap their way. Like you said, the pandemic being probably the biggest of everything. And so, yeah, we really have to, you know, do everything we can to make it as easy as possible, because God forbid, you know, they actually make money. Like that's the biggest thing I think in business is, you know, you go from this struggling entrepreneur and then you're immediately, if you start making money, you're a greedy businessman. And I'm like, wow, there needs to be a middle area where we celebrate.
That's a Canadian thing.
And we just, we do not,
not like people when they make money. Like no, we do this with our bands too, our artists. You know, we love them when they're driving into the city. They can't find a, you know,
you got to go support this band. Shower. You got to go support this business. And then when they become big, you're like sellouts.
Totally. Yeah. That's a Canadian thing. I don't know why. Hey, listen, let's talk a little bit about the festival circuit that you started years ago. And Mark, you and I have known each other for a long, long time.
Yeah. Before you get to the festival stuff, I also would like a count of how many festivals you've had to remove Lachlan from just at the end of the conversation.
Oh no, we've never actually officially invited him to any. Yeah.
Sorry, Lachlan. That's probably a good idea. Yeah. I've been at a few of yours with the little guy and I do believe we were asked to leave one.
Didn't he marry one of your friends? One of your coworkers one year? One of your coworkers got married at one of our festivals.
That's and was he true. Dressed up as Elvis?
That's correct.
Yeah. I think it was I don't know if it was necessarily a very official. I think it might have. Anyway, we can move on. So how many, like when you first started, do you have sort of a starting point of the number of breweries that would take part in your festival to where you are now? I know that every time you come to Edmonton, it's bigger and attendance goes up every year, but can you give us a sense of that growth over the last 20 years, Mark?
Yeah. So, I mean, the first one that we ever held was in 2025. So me and my one business partner, we've been working together since the early 2000s. We did a few different festivals. We landed on doing beer festivals in 2004 and did our first one in 2005. So we would have had, you know, 15 breweries, but that would have included agencies that were bringing beers from around the world. So when we started, you know, we called our first one the Calgary International Beer Fest. So that was, you know, certainly the biggest one in Alberta. But yeah, we were looking at probably 6 or 7, you know, local Alberta based breweries. And then the rest would have been, you know, agencies bringing beers in from around the world to maybe get us to 20 breweries kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then this year, you know, in Edmonton, we probably had, you know, well over 150 represented, and in Calgary, we'll probably have, you know, almost 200. So it's definitely grown. And then the number of restaurants we have, you know, we had 25 restaurants, I want to say, in Edmonton, and we'll probably have 40 plus. So the culture of Alberta beer is strong for sure. There's a lot of, you know, really, really good breweries. And I should say, when I look at, you know, say 200 breweries, you know, half of those are going to be local Alberta breweries and distilleries. So the landscape has changed a lot. And so a lot more local production, which is awesome. We get to share the story of local entrepreneurs and And so that's been a lot of fun to kind of see where we started and how the industry has evolved, because really our role in the industry is only to sort of show what the industry is. So when you come to our festivals, we look at it more as like a snapshot of what the industry looks like, as opposed to saying, here's what the industry should look like, you know? So when we, you know, watching the industry evolve, our festivals have just been a reflection of that. So it's been a fun ride for sure.
Well, mm-hmm. I think you're also part of it. You're being very modest. I think he's a humble guy.
Yeah, humble guy. It's a humble English Polack is what he is.
That's right. But I mean, like I said, I've always been an entrepreneur, and like, honestly, just becoming, you know, good friends with a lot of these people and watching them, you know, build their business, breweries to what they are now. You know, like one group, Bandit Peak here in Calgary, you know, just before COVID, they sold to Labatt. So, you know, a lot of people talk negatively about that sort of thing. To me, it's such a positive reflection on what our industry is, to think that big breweries like Labatt are willing to spend a ton of money on breweries that are, you know, based in Alberta, means that we're doing something right and that we're, you know, we're getting people's attention. So I see that as a positive.
As always, the Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by our friends at factcheck.io. Factcheck.io. Do you believe? The good people at FactCheck are a quorum of software professionals, psychological professionals, journalists that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter if it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information, and alternative sources. And there's going to be a weapon button too, where you can turn that information around and put it back out there accurately to combat disinformation. The good people at factcheck.io are right now testing their beta version of their free program. Yes, it will be free for anybody who wants to use it. They want to battle disinformation because it is a problem. Go to factcheck.io today, FACTCHEK.io, FACTCHEK.io. The world's most robust fact-checking disinformation software for news, social media, video, print, anything spoken word. These people are on the tip. And they use some of the finest software technology to be able to give you the advantage when it comes to getting agency back in your life, when it comes to information that you read. Go to factcheck.io today for more information. Sign up for the beta test, FACTCHEK.io. The Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by factcheck.io. Factcheck.io, makers of the world's most comprehensive fact-checking software, that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter if it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information so that you can give yourself agency over information in the age of disinformation. Again, want to beta test their product? They're going to launch it in the next month or two. Go to factcheck.io today, FACTCHEK.io. Back to the show.
Well, you care, right? I mean, that's what the craft beer industry is all about. It's in the actual title, craft beer. It's like someone has crafted it and they've cared for it. You are one of the mavens of the beer industry out in Alberta, albertabeerfestivals.com. You can go there and check it out. You can have a look at the pictures from the Edmonton Craft Beer Festival. You can also check out some of the other festivals as well. I think it was, what, February 28th? No, that's when you posted the last thing. But you've got everything here, all the festivals, Banff Festival, Calgary Beer Fest, Edmonton. So you got even Revelstoke branching out into BC. Attaboy. Good for you.
Well, we figured, you know, Revelstoke, if you ever go to Revelstoke, it's full of people from Alberta. That's kind of like the last stop on the way. On the way to my grandma's house
when I was a kid, it was like Golden, Revelstoke, right? Sycamore, you'd go through that area. But Revelstoke was like one of those areas where it's like, I'm pretty sure everybody is here on a witness relocation program.
Draft Dodgers, yes, and yes, on some level hiding from the law.
Yeah. And maybe we were not watching even just from Canada, right? Yeah, they might be from all over the world.
Yeah.
We were watching a hockey game at the Revy Festival last year. It was Vancouver versus Calgary. And when Calgary scored, the whole place like went crazy. So it tells you how many Albertans are there versus BC people. So Revelstoke is, you know, it's a place that I love to go skiing. So when they approached us to say, hey, do you want to do a festival here? It seemed like a pretty easy decision.
I know Dean wants to get into a project of yours, a business mm-hmm. thing that you've been working on while you're not planning these festivals.
Yeah, there are a lot of dudes that are like, you know, in charge of beer for a whole country who are actually interested in wellness. And you can see my friend Mark is a fairly healthy guy. A lot.
Before we get that, I want to put him on the hot seat. I want to put him on the hot seat. Okay.
You do whatever you want.
All right. This is a beer question, Mark. Okay.
Uh-oh. Keep in mind, I'm not a beer nerd. I'm a beer enthusiast.
Okay. All right. Me too. Dude,
you got to get touchy about that. You guys both get touchy about that. You call you beer nerds. It's okay. You guys are beer nerd enthusiasts.
Okay. So Mark, can you listen? You don't have to name your favorites because I know you deal with all these companies, but give me three beers I need to try.
Three beers you need to try.
Even if it's just the company.
Yeah, but stay away from like his preferences. He likes a nice IPA. He's a big like Coors Light kind of Bud Light guy.
Coors Light.
Beer world. Rock
we'll get
beer
to
world
the macro. We'll second. Get to the macro beer. All right. What?
Yeah.
Three beers I need to try.
You're in Edmonton, right? So, and I'm just you're putting me on the spot here, but I would say everybody needs to. There used to be a Kellogg's cornflakes commercial that said try it again for the first time. So I would do that with Alley Cat. What they've been doing in the last couple of years has been really, really awesome. Just kind of a reinvention of themselves, but at the same time keeping
they're one of the OGs, right?
Big time. Yeah. So Neil sold a few years ago, and the company has really, you know, stayed true to the roots, but at the same time really kind of evolved. So they're exciting. They're cool in Edmonton. When I was there a while ago, I was asking people like, what's a brewery that I should go visit? Irrational came up a lot. So that's on 124th Street. Really cool. And then what Monolith is doing. So Beer Enthusiasm, Blind Enthusiasm, sorry.
Blind.
So they own the Biera and Richie Market. And then they own the Monolith that's just off 99th Street. But the Monolith is like, it's kind of an open fermentation type model. And so they're doing, you know, beer that's not very common in Alberta or Canada. They're making some of the most unique beers. And
are they the guys that like throw like a chocolate cake into a big vat and is that
that's Cold Garden? So if you're ever in Calgary,
serious. I thought you were joking.
No.
Seriously. Well, Cold Garden has one called they have a cake one now. I'm blanking on the name, but like there's so many, you know, and that's what I love about it. You think, well, there's only four main ingredients to beer. Surely everything's been done. And then you go to a brewery and it's like, okay, they're still coming up with, you know, creative new ways of making beer. So
yeah, dude, I was at a poker thing this weekend and I mocked a buddy of mine like vociferously because he had a caramel flavored beer. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And he goes, you don't drink anymore. That doesn't mean that things haven't changed in the last 7 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's suck a it.
Nice way of saying cork it, Dean.
Yeah.
And then he went out onto the balcony.
And then I had a sip and I'm like,
a blunt.
I'm like, I did. But then I had a sip and I'm like, oh, it's really good. Yeah, it's really good. And it's because we come from that time where we had three television channels and two flavors of beer, right?
Totally.
That's the time that I come from. That's the time Lachlan comes from. And then you see all these beautiful craft beers people are making with a hint of this, that might have lemongrass, maybe a little strawberry, this one's sour. And I'm like, what happened? Because I never drank beer back in the day because it was one of those things. It's like, I need like 40 of them to feel great.
Come back to the dark side. Come back to the dark side, Dean.
But, you know, Dean, I will say like a lot of the craft brewers are making, you know, really approachable pilsners and lagers now. And so you have these really creative, unique beers, but, you know, a lot of them are, you know, back, I used to do a trip to Montana to a hockey tournament every year with a bunch of brewers. And, you know, let's say that was 10 years ago. And the brewers would be drinking like Keystone Light in the dressing room because they wouldn't even drink their own beer after a game. And yeah. Which I always thought was odd. It's like, well, no one wants a double IPA.
A bunch of brewers in a hockey change room.
Yeah. So,
but now, you know, not all of them, but a lot of them are making, you know, the approachable, you know, like I said, lagers and pilsners that, you know, you can have after you're done mowing your lawn or don't take that the wrong way. Or you're done, you know, playing hockey or going for a bike.
How close do you live to Lachlan's house, by the way?
Yeah. What's that?
How close do you live to Lachlan's?
No, not very far. It's like in-laws. You gotta maintain a healthy distance.
Here's my next question. Follow-up question. Thank you for the three suggestions to check out local.
I already have a promotional idea, so we'll get to that when you're done doing whatever you do.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, now,
hey, what's your go-to macro beer, Mark?
So my go-to macro beer, I'll get beat up for.
You're going to say Bud Light, aren't you? And then we're going to have to talk about trans people and Trudeau and Kid Rock.
One of the things that I always liked Coors Light over Bud Light, and I think it's just because I find Coors Light to be like more carbonated. But I attach it to a memory. I remember when I was in university, I used to landscape for the summers, and I just remember one day we were, you know, it was probably a 15-hour day and it was plus 30 and it was incredibly hot. And the owner of the house that we were at, he brought this bucket of Coors Light and they were ice cold, like literally just crystallizing. And I just remember just chugging my first one. And so, you know, I always think that beer is attached to memories. And so for me, I was always partial to Coors Light because that just, you know, it was very generous of him to bring, you know, nice cold beer to the help, but it was also just exactly what I needed at the time. So if I say what's my favorite macro, I'll go with Coors Light for that reason.
I have a similar memory, but mine was, I was 12.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom said that my first beer I ever had, I told her that dad was home and he wanted a beer. He was in the garage and we just brought it to the garage and chugged it. My dad wasn't home. So I was also started lying at a young age, apparently.
Yeah, I love the attachment alcohol has to memories. I've got a few vodka memories. I've got a couple of tequila memories, which is why I don't drink anymore. It's one of those things. Yeah. And when I say I don't drink anymore, I finally understand the purpose of drinking. So I will drink. Like I'll enjoy a nice tasting beverage or maybe a cocktail and I'll have one of those. And I remember I said to my girlfriend, we were out for dinner a couple of weeks ago and I had an old fashioned and she's like, how is it? I go, yeah. And so I finally get the point of drinking. It tastes delicious.
Yeah. You stop chugging and now you just drink.
Well, I just sip it because I enjoy the flavor. Mark Kondrat, really appreciate you being here today. Mark is the founder of maybe one of the longest running, if not the longest running beer festival in Edmonton. He is Mr. Beer Festival. You can go and check everything he has at albertabeerfestivals.com. Promotional idea before I let you go. Promotional idea. Okay. We use Lachlan to feature some of Alberta's best craft beer on this show and through our socials. And he takes everybody on a tour of the beautiful business and industry of craft beer and the people who actually care about making these products. And they care about the people of Alberta. I want to share them with the world. That's my promotional idea. What do you think?
I love it. I'm actually going to be in Edmonton in May to do that with there's a Culinary Federation conference. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring – so all these people are coming from across Canada, and we're going to bring them to all probably four or five different breweries in Edmonton and just kind of show them what beer in Alberta looks like. You think about it. We produce the best barley in the world. And I say that because, you know, there's, you know, distilleries from Japan sourcing it from Alberta. There's breweries from all over North America sourcing it from Alberta. So there's no reason why Alberta shouldn't be known as the best beer, you know, the best beer producers in the world, because I think we really are.
Yeah. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be featuring that domestic product and using all of your oil too. I firmly believe that. I'm a big oil and gas guy.
Well, if we're going to use it.
Yeah. Well, I would like to use it. I'm tired of shipping it in. If it's just under our, under the dirt and it's here, let's use it.
Might want to have a quick little chat with Quebec about that.
Yeah. I don't like talking to them. Anyway, the last thing I'll ask you, you've got a new project. You don't run into a lot of guys that are like, when I met you today at Beer Festival, Mark, I expect you to be much more out of shape than you are, but wellness is a big deal to you. Tell me a little bit about it. This new app that you're creating.
Yeah. So it's called Explore 84. And, you know, really I built it originally just kind of selfishly because I knew about 10 years ago that, you know, if I was going to continue in the industry that I needed to do something to really take care of my own health. So it started out physically, you know, challenging myself every day to do something, like running every day. And just as I chatted with people, you know, I realized there needed to be a mental component to that. So we talk a lot about mental health and just, you know, how do you address your mental health on a daily basis? And then I had a friend who was on a cancer journey, and we would have a lot of conversations about spiritual health. And so really what I would do is I would just kind of had a spreadsheet that checked off, you know, how am I addressing my health on a daily basis from a physical, mental, and a spiritual perspective. And I had a friend who is a doctor, chiropractor, and he was asking me about it because he wanted something like that for his clients. And so we decided to kind of turn what I had as kind of a personal project into an app so that we could share it. So we've been working on that for 2 years now, and we're just going into beta, and it'll be ready in May. So, you know, I want to be in this industry for a long time. And I know that for me to do that, I need to take care of myself. And like I said before, I've become really good friends with a lot of people behind the scenes in the industry. And if I can do something or give them something to kind of help them maintain their health, because I know there's a lot of stresses out there, then hopefully this is a platform that'll help them kind of keep healthy and, you know, stay with us, stay in the industry for as long as possible. Cause it's like a lot of other industries, there's a lot of burnout, you know, people get to the point. So if we can just give people tools to address their health on a daily basis. And, you know, through my podcasting and through just sitting down with people, you know, also just normalizing the idea of talking about mental health and the struggles that we're going through. Cause as you guys probably know, sometimes you find out that people are struggling when it's too late, right? So we just want to make sure that people understand that it's like physical health. We're not afraid to say, oh man, I'm out of shape. I need to start lifting weights or I need to start running. We can easily talk about that. Whereas like mental health, sometimes people, they don't want to. They want to kind of put up that facade that they're strong. And I just think like, screw it. Just, hey man, if you're struggling, let's talk about it. Let's get you the help that you need. And I just think, you know, addressing your health in those three areas on a daily basis just, you know, helps you become a better, whether it's a boss, employee,
husband, father, brother,
father, all those things. So, it's been helpful to me. And I knew that, like I said, I knew 10 years ago that, something had to give, and, I was either going to be, you know, kind of continued down on the trajectory or start my way up. So I decided to start my way up, and yeah, if it's something that can help other people, it's, I'm pretty proud of what the app has become and what the community is. And to be honest with you, we built one app and I looked at it and I said, that's kind of a piece of shit. And so we rebuilt it. So that's why, hence it's been 2 years instead of 1 year, but, it's like anything we do, I want to make sure that it's done properly and that it's something that I'm proud to put my name behind.
Good for you. I mean, yeah, there aren't a lot of people that are really interested in helping people with their spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being, you know. And
well, just talk to my wife and she'll say that I continued to need the help on a daily basis, and that's why I address it on a daily basis, because you know, just when I think I'm getting it dialed in, I'm like, oops, there was a setback.
Wow, dude. But that's all of us, right? Like, you know, I think it doesn't matter. I don't know how old you are. You're probably close to the same vintage as myself, probably way younger than Lachlan Cross, which is a gimme. But, you know, there are things that we don't talk about, and we don't talk about them for a reason, because we want people to believe in us. You know, we're business people. We are, in some cases, influencers in different businesses and industries. And we get this thought in our head, like, what if someone finds out how much I'm struggling or how sad I am, or what I'm dealing with, or my worry or my stress? And, you know, it's the vulnerability portion of being able to share that journey and tools with people at the same time is the solution, right? There are so many people that walk around wondering if, you know, does that guy feel like I feel, like I'm watching that guy walk around? Does he feel as miserable as me? He looks like he's smiling, you know, in the business, the gig economy that you're in, you're subject to things, all kinds of things you can't control.
Stressful,
you know, it's live or die, eat or be eaten. And in the big scheme of things, I think that's really kind of what we all look for, right? We all look for an opportunity to be able to share stories with people and say, hey, Les, I'm feeling like this. Is it weird? And when you hear the word no, I feel like that too. Or someone comes along and says, hey, listen, I feel insecure. I feel sad. I feel depressed. I feel lonely. I feel angry. I'm going through these things because I'm unwell physically, mentally, emotionally. Then that becomes this incredible, courageous journey where people can look at you and go, hey, it's okay, man. I'm just like you. It's all right. There's answers. Come with me and find those answers. So I'm excited to see this project that you have.
Yeah. And I mean, you
we
know
should
what?
Have you like back when you launch it, Mark.
What's that? Yes, I'd love that. No, it's definitely something I'm passionate about. So, and I agree with you, Dean. Like, and usually, if you're looking at someone going, like, I wonder if they're feeling the same thing I'm feeling, the chances are the answer is yes, right? I mean, we're all human, so how would we not be feeling that, right? So,
although the answer is 100% yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody goes through the same thing, right? Everybody goes through questions in their minds, times of a lack of confidence where someone changes your trajectory, you get overwhelmed and bunged up and busy and you don't have an outlet, you're not taking care of yourself physically, you're not offloading stuff mentally and emotionally, all that stuff, you're not drinking enough beer in Lachlan's case. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that people bottom out.
Yeah.
I do. I've said this out loud to friends of mine when I'm counseling them. I've said, you know,
unsolicited.
Yeah. Quite often what'll end up happening is you're involved in, like, I don't know, a situation at a work function or whatever. And you leave going, oh my God, everybody must think I'm an idiot. And I remember saying to a really close friend of mine, I'm like, you know what? Don't worry about it. Yes. What you did last night was completely ridiculous. And I'm going to make fun of you probably until the end of time. But everybody that was there also got in the car and they were thinking about what they had done and how everybody was viewing them. So it's an interesting dynamic, yet we get caught up in our own world quite often. And you're right, Mark, in that everybody's kind of going through the same shit, you know?
Yeah.
Right. I'm still a proponent of drinking and drinking and drinking and pressing down all your feelings.
Really,
and never dealing
into,
with
into
them.
This nuclear ball in your chest where one day the wrong guy comes to your door and you answer it and you beat the shit out of him for no good reason. Yeah. That's the mental and spiritual plan.
That's just a random thing Dean's employing. Bringing up. Yeah. I haven't done that
yet.
Yeah.
Yet.
See, I know you're lying because you have yoga mats behind you. So you have to, you take it out on the mat.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Listen, Mark, appreciate you. Thanks for coming. AlbertaBeerFestivals.com is where you can check out Mark's work. Lots of different beer festivals in your area. Craft beer in Alberta is great. We're going to be in touch with you about doing a carousel ride of craft beer from Alberta with Lachlan. That's what we're going to do.
Done deal. I'm going to invite Lachlan when I'm in Edmonton to do that one with the Culinary Federation.
Please do, Mark, and like, I'll roll some tape.
You can be like the Kramer to bring us on the bus tour across Edmonton.
I'm all over that. I got
Seinfeld
lots of time on my hands right now.
You could be the Kramer bus tour of the real Seinfeld tour.
Our first festival pre-beer fest was called Festivus. So, I'm all about the
Seinfeld
references. Yeah,
love it.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. Great to meet you, Mark. Okay. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, Mark.
Mark Condrit, AlbertaBeerFestivals.com. There's a good dude.
I really like Mark.
Thanks for introducing me to him.
Well, and again, like very, that. Very modest, very humble guy, but a big part of the success of the craft beer market in this province. I mean, he's a big part of it, right? And the growth of it, because he provided these parties and these celebrations around the success of it, right?
Absolutely. Celebrating local business, local breweries. We've got a crazy royal affair death pegging story to get to in just a second. But Lachlan, it is time for the locker room retro replay of the day. What do we have today, sir?
Well, this is a, we used to do these things called, well, no, that actually, this one is
the lock.
I'll let it go.
You got a funny story. This one, you guys always enjoy these sort of interactions with my wife. So,
oh, this would be good.
I saved them for you. So a buddy of mine calls me and we're on the phone and we're chatting. And I was up in the main room. My wife was just sort of watching, playing a game or something in the living room, listening.
Whatever she does.
Yeah. Ignoring me, trying to ignore me.
Yeah.
I get off the phone and there's sort of a moment of quiet. And she says, "What was that about?" Because it was a pretty involved conversation.
You were getting pretty animated.
And I said, it's so-and-so, friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And he wants me to counsel his son.
Oh, no. He wants you to counsel his son.
Okay. So she says to me, she goes, "Whose idea was that? You're a horrible communicator. Why would they think that this is a good idea?" And then I'm kind of looking at her like, you realize I'm in the communications business, right?
My job is to communicate. So are you going to do it?
Of course I am. I'm going to save this poor kid's life.
Oh, no.
No, you're going to mess this kid up.
I feel sorry for him.
whatever he did wrong, he's going to regret it.
Yeah. Yeah, what did he do to be punished?
Listen, I have things I can share.
Oh, good.
I might actually help this kid. You guys can stuff it. Both of you. And my wife. All of you guys are dicks.
All right.
There you go. That's nice. That's it's a little trip down memory
lane in the
locker room.
That actually ties into the conversation we were having.
Yeah, it does.
About getting advice from Lachlan.
I know. It's a terrible idea. I don't even know why anybody... Someone actually called you to actually help their son?
Yeah.
Did you end up helping him? No.
I don't want to get into it. It did not go well. That relationship spiraled out of control. And yeah, it ended my relationship with that guy and his relationship with his kid. And
you know, it's funny. I don't know about you, but I get these phone calls from time to time because I work with people that, you know, want to quit drinking, want a better life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get these phone calls from time to time from women like out of nowhere. "Can you help my son? Can you help my husband?" I'm like, no, I can't. When what they're really saying is, "Can you help me?" But I had a phone call not long ago. This person was like, "Hey, can you help my son?" And I'm like, "I don't think that's a great idea." And they're like, "Why not?" And I'm like, "Well, because he's 15. How about you parent?" And they're like, "I do parent." I'm like, "Well, clearly not. Clearly not if you want me to come and parent your 15-year-old. Well, you make sense to him. Well, then you should do more of what I do."
That's exactly the conversation I had with this guy.
Yeah, and it didn't go well.
It didn't go well. And it was one and done. I'll never do it again. And it was a mistake.
You know, anytime someone asks you to come in and fix their family, it's a terrible idea. It is an awful idea. I've had friends that have called me and said, "Can you come and talk to my child?" And I'm like, "Absolutely not. You can take yourself and your child to a medical professional, a psychological professional who can help you mediate and help you figure all this stuff out. I am not qualified for it, but you help guys quit drinking." Yeah, because they want to and they want to come to me, right? And so I can help them because they want to. Your son does not want me to walk into a living room to mediate a fight between you and your kids. If you're a parent and you have to call somebody to come in and be a parent because you don't want to be a parent, you're a bad parent. Just letting you know.
And again, this was a conversation about something the individual was like, it was something his son was doing that he was not like was against. Right.
Yeah.
And I sat down with the kid and I'm like, "Hey, you know, like, listen,
how old was the kid?"
15.
15-year-old smoke pot.
I'm like, "You know what? Maybe do a better job of hiding it from your old man," which is probably not. I'm going to sit down and have coffee and a sandwich with this kid.
No, it's not your job to parent him. That's my point.
He's not. He's going to continue to smoke pot.
I know he is. I know he is.
Anyway,
I know he is. It's entitlement. I tell you what, it's parents.
Let's move on.
He's like, I'm entitled. I don't want to do it. You know what happens
Royal when family.
When you raise children that are entitled, they become people that think they can do anything. Case in point, the royal family. Thank you very much, Lachlan. Are you paying attention?
No.
To the story or the tea, the gossip around the royal family?
My wife asked
me.
Holy
shit, dude.
My wife asked me last night. She said, what's the deal with the picture? And I said, well, I think they photoshopped it or something, but I had like, that is as far as, and I looked at the picture and I'm like, well, why is everyone upset? Did they put one of the kids in that wasn't in before or something? Like,
well, because there's a massive story here that nobody's paying attention to. That's why everybody's upset. To your point, let me bring it up. You can go to crier.co and check out the actual story.
So this is a breakdown of why everyone's all wound up about this picture.
Yeah, correct. So, as you know, there have been numerous reports of Prince William. Remember last year, they gave him the title, the Prince of Pegging. Said he was
that
in a
was so much fun.
It was the best, Prince of Pegging, because apparently the rumor was he was in a relationship with another royal or someone in the royal circle having an affair. And these are, you know, if you're a royal, you can't have an affair with commoners, right? You gotta have an affair with people in your familial circle. So he's banging his like fifth cousin, apparently. She's pegging him. And the rumor is while that's going on, Kate
Should
is having an affair.
Should we explain pegging for anybody that
No, just Google it. Just Google it. I'm not explaining it.
Don't Google it at work.
No. Google it from like your best friend's computer too. Or phone. Pegging videos. That's all you gotta. Or just go to Pornhub and look for.
That rumor came out before before the queen died.
Yeah, yeah. That's why she died.
What I wanted, I would have paid for a video of one of the aides trying to explain to Queen what pegging is.
Well, I guess Prince William likes to have
an apparatus
trap
fired up his backside.
Which is fine, right?
Do you?
Good for you.
Do you, Prince?
So here's the deal. Apparently, while that affair, the pegging affair, has been going on, Kate has been canoodling, as they say, with apparently this guy. His name's Thomas Kingston, who was found dead with a massive head wound 2 weeks ago in his
parents'
condo. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not that you're not making that up.
No,
that's real.
100%.
He's dead. Now, who is he? Who's this guy?
This guy is married to like one of those extension royals, someone who's got a royal title, but not really a royal. Don't know her name. Doesn't matter. Mrs. Kingston.
Okay.
But prior to that relationship, this gentleman, Thomas Kingston, was engaged to be married to Pippa Middleton. And that relationship, this is Kate's sister, that relationship went sour because there were rumors that this gentleman, this good-looking, dashing, dead dude, was sticking it to the sister, Kate, who's now not been seen for something like 37 days, which is part of the actual problem as well. Yes, question before we continue. Question for
She's had surgery, though, right?
Well, 36 days ago, there was an announcement from Buckingham Palace. She was going to have minor abdominal surgery. She has not been seen in over a month and a half. That two-week recovery period, according to Buckingham Palace, is now 9 months. No one's seen her. That hasn't stopped them and the royal family from legitimately posting photoshopped pictures that are unbelievable, which Buckingham Palace and Prince William and Princess Kate have admitted are photoshopped, like this bad boy, where you can overlay a picture of her at a funeral into the backseat of a car picture, which was created the other day. And then, of course, this picture, which was widely debunked, as you can see it in the actual title,
as an old
Vogue photo that they superimposed her head on sitting around her kids to convince everybody Princess Kate was home. Everything
with
is fine with the Windsors. Everything's good with the Prince and the Princess of Wales. But these rumors of this affair, and by the way, guess who's laughing?
Yeah.
Harry and Meghan, who got out. Rumors of these affair come with a possible murder, and this is the other thing, people are saying that maybe Kate got pregnant by this guy
and William went over and tried to figure him out, which is why he's dead. No one's seen anybody for like the last month and a half. They're all trying to cover it up all the time. All the while, Charles is apparently having some kind of cancer treatment. I mean, it's fairly serious.
Fairly serious allegations.
Totally. But, dude, the thing is, and this is why everybody's freaking out, is the royal family's been busy photoshopping pictures to try to convince everybody that she's fine.
She's
fine. Why are they doing that? Like, hey, listen, of course, the narrative is whatever it is. It could be pregnancy, could be an abortion. Maybe someone got murdered. Maybe he just died. I don't know many people that kill themselves with blunt force trauma to the head. It's hard to do, right? Really hard to do. So there are tons of rumors going around that this indeed is something untowards. And of course, Buckingham Palace and the Prince and the Princess of Wales are hiding something because they're photoshopping pictures with fucking.
But they've always tried to control the narrative, though. Deep.
Totally, totally. But this is beyond the pale because if you know anything about the royal family, it's never complain, never explain. They've complained and now they're explaining and they're using excuses. One of them was Kate was like, "Hey, sometimes I mess around with Photoshop at home. No big deal." That's a big deal. That was a professional job that was edited twice last Friday on Adobe Photoshop. And by the way, Adobe stock went through the roof because it looked so convincing. Wild, huh?
Huh. Yeah, I will be honest with you. I
don't care. I didn't care either, and then I got sucked back in with this shit.
This is intriguing. But I mean, as a whole, outside looking in, when I see a royal family story, that's why I couldn't explain it to my wife. I had zero concept of what was going on. But I saw the picture and I was like, they photoshopped it and they're mad that it was photoshopped and not real. And I don't know why. But now that you've explained it, it makes it more interesting because you don't often get a story like that on every news channel. Like it was on every news channel the last couple of days.
Dude, Colbert talked about it last night.
Yes. Like it's I knew there was more to it, but I didn't realize it was this.
Yeah, dude. It's
this
big.
Salacious.
It's unbelievable. It's, you know what the kids call it these days, Block? If I could be a little kiddish, if I could be a millennial, a Gen Xer, if you will. They call it
you
some
are
hot
a Gen
goss.
X.
They call it Gen Z then. Call it some hot goss or they call it tea. Okay. This is some crazy goss. This is some incredible tea. Kate Middleton may have had an abortion. Kate Middleton may have had an affair.
Prince William may have been found out,
and his pegging pension has been found out. And by the way, the lady that is apparently doing the pegging, not a bad looking lady named Rose. By the way,
really. Oh, I thought you were going to show a picture of her. No,
I can if you like.
Yeah, get a picture. Here's the thing for me, and I don't want to downplay because obviously I understand that people put them up on a pedestal. I've always been very anti-royal family because just because you were born into something, in my opinion, doesn't make you any better than anybody else. And so that's sort of my stance on it, Dean. And I know you've got parents that live there. Weren't you born there? And then,
yeah, dude. Yeah, my parents. So, dude. And they don't give a shit about the royal family either. But they were very upset when Queenie passed. Very upset.
Well, I think that was sort of the. I think it's going to go downhill from there. I think the Queen was holding that whole thing together, and I don't necessarily think that King Charles is going to endear himself to, if he ever has. He's a bit of a dick, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, they can all go away. I mean, this is just an example of the lunacy of that kind of fame and too much freaking time on your hands. Let's see the pegger.
Yeah, I'll show you the pegger in just a second, but I want to play you this video of this guy. He's like a reporter.
It's not a pegging video,
no,
is
no,
it?
No, I can't show the pegging videos here. I've never watched one, nor will I, by the way. I was wedgied once. I'm against it. But I want to play this video. This is a reporter who says he's put it all together, and it's fascinating.
Oh, shit. It's all starting to come out now. Allegedly, Kate Middleton may have been pregnant with Thomas Kingston's baby. To make matters worse, Thomas Kingston was found dead just a few days ago, locked inside a room at his parents' apartment with a traumatic head injury. For those that don't know, Thomas was in a relationship with Kate's sister, Pip Middleton, for quite some time. And he stayed in contact with Kate ever since. Even recent WhatsApp messages have been leaked showing Thomas was sending her messages wishing her a speedy recovery in terms of her stomach issues. But did Kate fall pregnant with Thomas's baby, and did she refuse to have an abortion after having three children? And then did someone forcibly remove the pregnancy?
Good Lord.
Again, it's allegedly. The longer the Buckingham Palace stays silent on this issue, the more speculation is going to run riot. And Kate hasn't been seen since Christmas Day.
Ooh.
Something is clearly fucking going on here. He was blatantly murdered. She hasn't been seen since December. There's something going on. Surely there's something going on. Let me know what you think in the comments. As always, I will keep you up to date, for fuck's sake.
See, that's where you lose me. I mean, I don't mind having a conversation about this kind of stuff, because it's, but I'm not, it does not change the course of my day what those idiots are doing.
No, me neither, but it sure is funny, right? When they start having these conversations in public. And if there's anything that I love more than a British guy going, fuck me, you know, I've yet to find it.
They swear so much better.
Oh, dude, the C word coming out of a British guy's mouth or a British woman's mouth, that is unbelievable. Real quick, before we let you go, while we're talking about the impending breakup of this royal marriage, we had a reconciliation of sorts. You see the picture that Ron McLean posted with him and Don Cherry this weekend?
I did, yes. So they got together. Was it Don's birthday, or like, yes, there was a reason behind it? I didn't pay that much attention.
I didn't either. But apparently it was Don's birthday. Ron posted a thing. He's like, look at us having cake. And you would not believe the fallout from two senior citizens having cake. It's really what that picture was.
I don't understand people's fascination.
People went after Ron on Twitter, calling him every name in the book. Look at you trying to rekindle a relationship with Don after screwing him over. Look at you, you piece of shit, you cuck. I hate to, like, I went through his replies after he posted that. Very angry people. Very angry people that are still under the impression that after Sportsnet gave Don and Ron an opportunity to apologize several years ago, years ago, for something stupid, innocuous, the cancel culture took and ran with, that Don said, mad that Ron didn't sacrifice his living at the altar of a guy who has said all kinds of awful things in the past.
Well, and you go back and sort of run tape from his 40 years on TV, there were more than a couple of moments where they were like, that, you
pretty
know,
racist.
You could have maybe written that down as a problem. HR may have had an issue with that one.
Yeah. But I was amazed, because it's been years.
And it has been.
Now people just wanted Ron and Don to be happy. Hockey Night in Canada, the longest running show host duo in this country's history.
We talked about this.
All these things. But it is amazing to me. It's amazing how stupid people are, number one, that are like, I still can't believe Ron didn't sacrifice his $1 million salary.
So 2 weeks ago, I got let go from my gig, right? The locker room. And they kept Grant and Jimmy. And I, not a very religious guy, but I'm praying for them. And I'm not even kidding. I'm very worried about my two old co-hosts and what they're going through over there. Uh-huh. Not going to get into details. Grant and Jimmy both need the income. And I was hanging out with Jimmy this weekend, because we're still really close. One of my best friends, probably will be till I die. And we were having a couple of drinks. And he said that he had to block a bunch of people because they were coming after him for not quitting and throwing himself on the sword when I got let go. And I'm like,
people were sending him messages, shitting on him for not quitting after you got
and
let
Jimmy's
go.
He's a pretty sensitive kid, and he feels awful for what happened to me. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, just tell him to contact me. Right. And I'll have a conversation with him. It's just wrong.
What do they expect, like, the same group of people? Do they expect everybody to quit with you after you get fired?
Yes, we were a great team. And I miss what we had. And you know what? it's unfortunate that our industry is at this point, and I'm a casualty of it, and I understand it all. I'm trying to move on. But come on, Jimmy. I mean, they pay him dog food wages, legit. Like, he makes next to nothing, and he absolutely has to have that job. And he's not the reason. He did nothing, and should be held accountable for nothing because of my departure. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand why people go there. Yes, we were a great team. Jimmy needs to take care of himself. Grant needs to take care of himself. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do what I can to move on. Right? Mm-hmm. That's the world we live in. I'm not going to hold it against Grant. I'm not going to hold it against Jimmy. We're having a locker room wake. We're having them over on the weekend.
You having Grant and Jimmy over on the weekend for a little locker room?
Like, we're all going to wear black.
Pour one out for the old brand, if you will.
Drink some beverages. Have some pizza.
Attaboy.
Get the dogs together. Grant's got 9 kids, so.
Are you inviting all of Grant and his entire family over too? You're inviting everybody over. You're
gonna everyone's coming house. Over. We're you'll gonna be, eat you'll pizza last, and get drunk.
You'll last 40 minutes with all those kids running around. Your Grant and Jimmy will find you in your room watching hockey.
35 or the bathroom, minutes after the toilet.
Yeah, that's where I go to hide from kids.
You know what? Listen, it's not Jimmy's fault. And I have the same sort of opinion about Ron. Ron did what he needed to do, and Don could have apologized and stayed on the show. Right? I'd be angry at Don. Yeah. He's the one that dug in.
Thank you. You gave Sportsnet gave Ron and Don a choice. Apologize, move on, keep your job and your money. Don't apologize. Don picked don't apologize door. Ron picked apologize door. Whether or not you think they should have apologized or did anything wrong doesn't matter. Y'all work for somebody. They're going to ask for a pound of flesh sometimes. Yep. That was the pound of flesh. Ron chose to give it to him. Don didn't. Don doesn't work. Y'all think that Don's the sacrificial lamb. That was his choice. His choice. He could have, and I hate to bring this up for the 7th year in a row, he could have said, okay, do I want the money or do I not want the money? Do I want to say, hey, sorry if what I said was misconstrued. Here's what I meant. That's all he had to do. That's what Ron did. And everybody was like, no, he shouldn't, just out of principle. So everybody that supports him, you support Don not making any money. That's really dumb. You're really dumb.
I don't understand that logic. Yeah, it's bizarre to me.
Nobody does. Nobody does. Anyway, good to see you. Thanks for doing this today. At Lachlan Cross, follow him on Twitter. You can get everything they do, including the Locker Room Retro Replay at the Locker Room YouTube page. You can go and check that out. He's also got a couple of shirts, which you can buy, including Save Lachlan Cross, which you can get anywhere. I guess he's done. He didn't even want to say goodbye. He just kind of left the screen. Isn't that nice? I like that when people do that. I know their intentions at that point. They want to leave. Anyway, check it out at the Dean Blundell Store Square site. You can check it out. You can also go to Cryer Media, the Locker Room webpage, Locker Room merch store as well, and check that show. And we've also got a new shirt that says, why can't we all just get along? Seems like it should be a lot easier than it is. Maybe a t-shirt will make the difference. I don't know, but you can support us by buying it. $20. Go to the Dean Blundell merch page, Dean Blundell shop store, or you can go to Cryer Media, cryer.co as well, and check that out. As always, we are brought to you by our friends at Fact Check, disinformation killing software that is here to destroy lying narratives. Social media, news, anything with a URL, anything you read, see, feel, hear, or touch, pictures, videos, written words, spoken word, even in real time, it's the Shazam of fact checking, and it is going to absolutely destroy certain media outlets. When the people at Fact Check came to us during the Canada Proud lawsuit, Canada Proud, an official agent of the Conservative Party who like to spread misinformation and disinformation as part of their business plan, came to us and said, hey, you got sued. We're developing this software. Can we get to bed together? And I said, yeah, I would really like that. That'd be great. And they said, we've got this beta test. Can you test it? And I said, yeah, I would really love to test it. And all of a sudden, it started telling me that everything that I thought was a lie, including on social media, Twitter, Facebook, etc., including source material, pictures, videos, Israel, Gaza. It puts everything into perspective, and it destroys the narrative that you want destroyed because it is a lie. It only gives you fact-based truth, source truth, and you can join their fact check beta testing team today. Go to FACTCHEK.io. factcheck.io. Sign up for their beta test today. You could find yourself a verified fact checker as well. We have positions available. So go to Fact Check and sign up today. Again, factcheck.io. Do you believe? We're also brought to you by our friends at Cantorque, makers of rugged, hardworking torque wrenches for industrial use, and they have been the best in the business around the world for 20 years. Unparalleled expertise, specific requirements, industry expertise. Most cases, they've been there and done that, and they want to be there and do that for you. Tool rentals, calibration service, repairs, custom fabrication, distribution opportunities. Cantorque offers you a complete range of services and products, making them your one-stop destination for all your bolting needs. For flange, maintenance systems, and impact sockets, you can rely on the highest quality products, which you can check out at their new website, cantorque.com, product services, and also download their new podcast called Talking Torque with Colin Livingston. Good dude, smart guy, covers a variety of subjects. He also races with the Alex Tagliani race team. So if you're in the market for a torque wrench and you need a bolting solution and can't find one, there's only one group in Canada that does it. Proudly made, manufactured, designed in Canada, cantorque.com. Check them out today. We're also brought to you by Ed's Fine Imports and his luxury branded boxer briefs called Gitch. Branded underwear, Gitch3 is your promo code. Right now, buy three, get one free at checkout. Engineered for any level of performance. Listen, I'm an underwear guy. I need to know that I am taken care of. I need to know that my stuff has a place to hide during the day. I need moisture wicking fabric. I need barely there, super soft fabric performance that I could run, walk, or sprint through. That is what Gitch is. These underwear will change the game. They already have, made in Canada by Canadians for Canadians, pouches bigger. Moisture wicking action, luxurious modal. You'll never want to take these things off. I can guarantee it. And right now you can get a free pair courtesy of us. Gitch3 is your promo code. Put that in at checkout and you'll get that fourth pair for free. Four packs, different colors, all kinds of sizes. Guaranteed you will love these boxer briefs, so buy some today. 15% off when you give them your email address on the way out as well. And we're brought to you by Muse Massage Spa. Muse on the Mic is the name of their podcast, and it's very, very, very good. Emily and Riley are going to join us on the show on Monday to talk about sugar daddies and the business of internet sugar daddery. It's a big thing. Anyway, they're going to join us to talk about that, as well as some of the new promotions they've got to use, but they take you behind the scenes. They're sexologists, educators, advocates for the sex work industry. Their podcast is called Muse on the Mic, and you need to go and download it. Go and get the Patreon uncensored version as well. Sign up for that. You can check them out at YouTube, Muse on the Mic. But go to their website today and check out their offering, 1290 Finch Avenue West, Muse Massage Spa, musemassagespa.com to schedule and choose your Muse, book a treatment. Start that today. And make sure you give their podcast a sub and a download, including the Patreon one, which is totally uncensored. Nice girls, smart girls. Love having Emily on the show. Riley's going to join us on Monday as well. I have problems with them, good problems. But every time I'm on with them, I'm like, I can't even look. Too hot. Anyway, have a great day, everybody. Appreciate it. Thanks so much for being part of the show. Thanks to Lachlan. Thanks to Mark Conrad from AlbertaBeerFestivals.com. Check out his new website today. And we appreciate you joining us for the last hour, right? Giving us your time. You can't get your time back. You can get more stuff, but you can't get more time. So when you give us your time, we really appreciate it. Have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.
Kits. I'm your eager beaver.
And I'm Mr. Grizzly.
If you love politics
or hate politics,
then have we the perfect podcast for you.
The True North Eager Beaver.
Incisive political commentary.
We keep you up to date
and give you the political and media literacy you seek
to help you
cut through the bovine fecal matter.
Facts first.
Sound analysis.
Sometimes I growl.
Sometimes I sass.
We impart civics and build community.
And we share some laughs along the way.
Being informed
and engaged has never been more fabulous
or sexy. Catch us on the Dean Blundell Network or on our YouTube channel
or wherever you get your podcasts,
because democracy is something you do.